Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Survivor specialist Tegwith and McKenna are back. And once I knew Tegwith was going to be on this podcast, I had this idea because I finally have another lady in the mix, and so we are going to talk some female survivors today, and I'm really pumped.
I'm very excited. I'm also, like, kind of scared because, not scared, but I just, like, I love so many people.
I know.
And it's so hard to, like, just say 10, you know?
Exactly. We should have opened it up to top 20.
150. Top 150.
Perfect. Yeah, it was definitely hard to rank, especially because I gave the context of it doesn't have to be strategy. It can be character. It can be just like how you feel about them in general. It could be whatever you want to make your list with, go for it. And so that gave a lot of free rein. And I think it'll be different from Tegwith's list will be very different from my list will be different, very different from anyone else's list. Yeah. So
yeah. And if you don't know this about me, for anyone who's listening or watching, I do go off of vibes a lot. Mm-hmm. And so while I do have some people who I like think are probably some of the best like strategic minds, there are also people that I just like really like, and I would literally like,
good.
Or I really just like vibe with, I don't know. So mm-hmm. like, are we going to be like Survivor Analytics over on TikTok, who is like able to rank everybody and really defend how he's ranking people? No, I can't do that because that stresses me out. But I just want to give you an idea of why I'm doing the things I'm doing. But I still like my list. But
yes, I do too. There are a lot of people for me that like just didn't make the cut. And it's also because I wanted to have I guess not stereotypical list either. I wanted to have it a little bit more diverse with some of the people I find fun to watch. Yeah. So, or have just grown a liking to. So there are some like heavy hitters that I feel didn't make the list, but should have made any other list.
Understood. Okay. I'm now excited.
So we discussed, we are actually going to go 1 to 10 because our top people are not as fun, I guess, or like more predictable. So stay tuned for our number 10s because that's, I guess, really where it's at.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I feel like, 8 to 10 is going to be the fun, weird ones.
Yeah.
Maybe the first ones are a little more, you can guess, but still nonetheless amazing.
Yes.
And let me just say, everybody who's been on Survivor is iconic, period.
Period.
And minus like I want to say minus like 5 people, but like majority, 99.7% of the people on Survivor, iconic.
Yes. All right. I feel like I'll just kick it off and get my first one out of here. It is the one and only Queen Parvati Shallow. I'm sure everyone is shocked here that I have Parvati as my number one, but when I first started watching Survivor, I actually was like, I was rewatching it because my first live season was Millennials versus Gen X. So then as I was watching Cook Islands, I was like, oh man, I love Parvati. And a lot of people say like, who is Parvati in Cook Islands? I noticed Parvati in Cook Islands. I don't know. And then when she came out from Micronesia, I was so stoked because she had been one of my favorites from the past few seasons. And then to watch her continue to play and dominate has just been amazing. And then her branching out into other shows was also so much fun. So Parvati has been my queen since I have watched her long, long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. She, and I will say, I've always, I guess this will show you what I'm going to say for my number one. Sandra Diaz-Twine is the first one that I'm going to mention. And I always was, you know, very defensive over Sandra's second win, just because I think a lot of people talk about that in the sense of like, oh, there was a bitter jury, like Parvati deserved to win, all that stuff. I do think that her game in Australia, Parvati's game in Australia versus the world, solidified her as the greatest player of all time. I do believe that she has like won that outright. Because of her performance in that season, as well as her performance in pretty much every other season that she's been in, minus like one. But I just think that she's amazing. But I also think that Sandra winning the way she did twice is crazy. Like, Pearl Islands is one of my favorite seasons of all time. I love Pearl Islands. I think it's crazy, chaotic, wonderful. Just like the characters we get are just some of the most iconic characters in Survivor history, in Survivor lore. Like they're just, it's just such a fun, amazing season. And Sandra was always one of my favorite on that season. And the fact that she goes and is able to win a second time in a mixed season, not all winners. Yeah. You know, heroes versus villains, being a villain on that season and then ending up winning the whole thing, like, is just so amazing. Did she play the quote unquote best game that season? I don't know. Who
played the best game for that jury?
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think that she really is a pretty incredible player. And then she just, even though she gets out, what, like fourth or fifth every other time she plays, literally, I think.
Well, because of that threat level. It's because she's just that good. If you let Sandra have legs, she's going to not run, because Sandra doesn't run, but.
No. But she's gonna be able to, you know, keep her head above water. But I think that even in those times when she gets out, she still has some amazing gameplay and just fun TV.
Her Game Changers game is incredible, even though she gets swap screwed essentially. She was ready to keep going in that game, and other people were ready to take her. I don't dispute Sandra at your number one either, because I do think, you know, after listening to Parvati's book in that, for that heroes versus villains portion, I like empathize with everything she was going through. Mm-hmm. And that sucks that she didn't get to talk either during, you know, the final tribal council. But Sandra had the majority of the jury on her side. And if it was a bitter jury, that's the name of the game. Do I wish Parvati would have won that? Hell yes. But I'm not going to say like, that the jury was wrong, because right. That's how they were feeling in that moment.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Two things can be true at the same time. And I will also say one thing about Parvati is, and Ryan said this, and he put this into words that I never was really able to. Parvati has played a winning game three times, right? She's the only person that's ever been to Final Tribal Council three times in her whole career. Like no one else has done that. Two is max. And she has truly, I think you can play a winning game and not win, because I think that you can be good. That does not negate the fact that the other person ended up winning. But I think that when Ryan said that, oh yeah, she's the only person who's played a winning game three times, I was like, yeah, ding, 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 boom, boom, boom. Parvati's amazing. But you know, I think, you know, there can be two queens, multiple nations in this world, and I'm okay with that.
Yes, for sure. My number two, I mean, we might be sick of talking about her because of AU versus the world. It's Suri. But I am always just happy when she's on my screen, and she plays an amazing game to watch. So I was like, I can't not have Suri on my list. Mm-hmm. And she is just like, just that good. Even though you feel like there's Suri fatigue, and then you watch it back and you're just like, what was I thinking? Yeah. So she is just a brilliant strategic social mind that just needs that dub.
She needs the dub. She needs to get a chance to be in Final Tribal Council. She needs it bad. And I need it. The world needs it. The world needs it and wants it. And one of the most cathartic things was watching her win the Traitors.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're like, so we've been right this whole time. She's amazing. And she needs to win. It's just that for some reason, she just can't make it happen on Survivor. I was one of those people who was like, kind of not annoyed, but like, I was like, do we really need to have Suri on 50? We've had her on so many things. I was wrong. I was wrong. I swear on AU versus the world, I was like, Tegwith, go put yourself in timeout. You're what you're saying. She is incredible.
Because she does the same thing every time of gets pretty deep to the end, but sometimes the way her brain works for certain moves is always different, because the moves are always different. So that's really the diversity that Suri brings, is her like ability to adapt within a game and to make her character arc not the same.
Right. And also the other thing about Suri is like her, like what she's amazing at is the social, like building social bonds, quote unquote, social manipulation. Right. And I personally believe that's interesting, however many times you watch that. Whereas like somebody who like, like, let's just say like Russell's game or Boston Rob's game, right? Those games I don't find very interesting to watch multiple times because it's like they try to make the same like five steps happen. Like, mm-hmm. Okay, find my number one, isolate everybody else, all that other stuff. Like,
right.
You say my name, you're out, like whatever else. Sari doesn't do that because she sees the space she's in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I know that won't work here. So let me change what I'm going to do. And she's able to adapt in the way that others are not able to, which is why I am okay to always watch her game. Contrary to what Tegwith 3 months ago said.
I mean, I'm with you.
So. Yeah. So it's like, it's just like, she's so adaptable, which is why it's amazing.
Mm. Where do you got number two?
So, okay, I'm not gonna lie, I did have Sari at number two, but I'm trying to, I think I want to talk about 20 people, or at least, I don't know. So I'm gonna say somebody else.
Okay.
I'm gonna go down to my next, and I'm gonna say Jerry Manthe.
For your number three?
And for, no, for my number two.
Oh, you're moving everybody up on the list.
I'm moving everyone up one, yeah. Yeah. Jerry Manthe, I adore her. I think that she deserves so much from Survivor, so much more from Survivor. And we talked about, you know, Heroes versus Villains earlier. Mm-hmm. She would have won that season. She was a foot away from winning that season, and you cannot change my mind. In that final challenge, she's blindfolded. Russell is like literally a foot in front of her and grabs that necklace. Had Jerry Manthe grabbed that necklace, I truly, truly believe in my heart of hearts, she would have won Heroes versus Villains and she would have played an amazing game. Mm-hmm. And she would have 1000%, like she would have gotten a lot of the jury because I recently rewatched that season and I was just like, this woman, she's so good. She's so good. And I just think that she deserves so much more than Survivor has given her. Yeah. AKA a spot on 50. And I just think that she just deserves so much. And I love her so much.
I am also a big fan of Jerry. I have Jerry at my number six. So I do have Jerry on my list and she is just, I love her arc too. How like she was this, you know, kind of catty younger woman on the season, then grows to be like kind of more wise, I guess, and like seasoned, and like she's just so good to watch throughout the three seasons. Her and Colby's arc of I'm gonna best you, and mm-hmm. she does, is just brilliant every time, and I always root for Jerry over Colby. And she is an amazing player and amazing character too. Her confessionals are great. The way she interacts at camp, being like, all right, professional chef, sit down, I'm gonna make this food now, like, it's just so good. And she does not deserve all the boos and hate that she got in her previous seasons, and definitely needed that 50 spot.
Yeah, I really, really think it's a real shame that she's not on 50. Mainly also, not only because we're missing out on Jerry, but also because the fact that Jerry and Colby are not on a season together is actually criminal.
It's breaking up the partners that have always played together. Yeah.
Somebody deserves to go to jail for that, honestly.
All right. So my number three is Sarah Lucina. I think she has an amazing Survivor game. I really liked her Game Changers game and watching that unfold in Winners at War as well. Her social game when she needs it to be there is on point because everybody always comes running and talking to her. She plays the middle so well, and I don't know how you can play a social game with playing the middle because you're talking to both sides and one side always kind of gets hurt. So I think her time in Survivor is really good.
Yeah, honestly, so she's not on my list, and I think the reason why is because I just don't really like Game Changers.
And I don't I don't particularly like Game Changers either, but certain people's games in Game Changers I think are really good, but then other people's are really bad. And there's a really bad moment in the pre-merge that kind of dampers it.
Game Changers is just like, it's one of those ones, it's like a cursed season for me where I just am like, first of all, when I first watched that season, I was like, who are these people? Literally, in my head, I've never seen people in my life.
Yeah.
Like half the cast. But then also like, there's just something about the gameplay. It wasn't clicking with me when I was watching it. And I don't think I've ever rewatched it. So I really have not really been able to, other than obviously I've rewatched Winners at War. Well, not obviously, you guys don't know me. I rewatched Winners at War, and I have rewatched. Oh my God,
Hagi-an.
Thank you. that one many times, but you wouldn't believe that from the way I forgot its name. But I just feel like the game where she like is so like it's her game. I just don't really care to watch a lot, so I feel like I don't know her game that well.
Understandable. We compared her win and Tommy's win on the rewind to Kyle's win once he won, because they kind of played some similar under the radar social heavy games. So I think she's a great player. And so I wanted to put her high on my list.
Love. Okay. All right. Next one is hard for me. I have two people and I don't know which one I want to do first, but I'm going to go Natalie Anderson.
Okay.
San Juan del Sur is genuinely one of my favorite seasons of Survivor. Mm-hmm. I also think that is one of the best played games of Survivor by a newbie that just is not talked about mm-hmm. enough. I think that she mastered the art of tribal council. I think that she is somebody who really knows her way around people, but also like knows her way around the game. And truly, if I could just watch on repeat, like, Jacqueline, did you vote for right? Who I needed you to vote for? I would. I truly think it's the best idol play in Survivor history. I think it's amazing. I think it's incredible. And I love her. And I mm-hmm. think that she is definitely one of my top women players. Now granted, Winners at War, first one voted out, not great. But then she ended up coming in second, which is actually crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that just kind of shows kind of the failure of Edge of Extinction, but also like the people are going to vote for who they, you know, see themselves
mm-hmm.
in a little bit. But I also think it shows that like her social game, she's not just a strategy person. And I think that in San Juan del Sur, she was so strategic, right? And I think in Winners at War, she was able to show like, no, I can create these bonds. I can do these things with people to really want them to vote for me, basically. So I think she's amazing.
Did you not like Game Changers because Natalie wasn't on it? She was supposed to be and then had to not be on it. Is that the real reason why Game Changers is not high on your list?
I didn't even know that. That's actually so funny. That's why 100%.
I think she got injured or something right before going out and they had to replace her. But Natalie has one of like my favorite moves in Survivor with the, was I supposed to vote for Keith? Oh, that's my bad. Sorry. I voted for Alex.
She's so.
And because it was dark, they were able to believe her at that point, like, and still continue to trust her, even though John was like, well, she got the vote wrong. How can we trust her moving forward?
It's so good. And I think that she's also mm-hmm. has a really great way of not only being strategic, but also being good television. Because I think a lot of times people who are super strategic might not always be good television. Mm-hmm. But she's like funny and she like hits back at people, you know?
Yeah.
I think she's great.
Yes, I do too. My number four, I feel like I would be fired, kicked off the podcast, and banished if she wasn't on my list. I also do love her as a player, but also to save my job, Michelle Fitzgerald is here at my number four. She's a badass, man. She doesn't get enough credit, I guess, live while the season's going on, and a lot of fans have now rallied against and for her. Well, against the bad stuff and for her, her game moving forward. But she has just like grown and grown and grown in my heart and watching her seasons. And then continuing to follow on the challenge where she's proven that she's an absolute unit, is just amazing. Her social game is on point. Her strategic game and just kind of moving forward with the challenges when she needs to win them. Like, that's crazy that you can like clutch a challenge like that.
Yeah. She's insane. She is the person, like, oh my God. Like, she is somebody who, I'm not going to lie, when I first watched her first season, I was like, oh, Aubrey should have won. This was also like my third season that I ever watched. Right. So give me a little bit of grace. And then I quickly changed my mind because I kind of understood the game a little bit more. Mm-hmm. And then when I watched her at Winners at War, the whole time Ryan and I were like, she's winning. She's winning.
Yeah.
She's winning. She's winning the season. She plays the most incredible social game. Like, she's insane. Mm-hmm. She's insane. Like, her getting Boston Rob to do a fashion show with her or something in like Winners at War?
Like, yeah, that whole like fashion show. Like, she roped in Sarah, I think, to do hair and whatever. So it was like,
just like the things that, I mean, like, you're obviously bored on Survivor, but like the thing that she's able to get people to do. Also, only person to never be voted out of Survivor.
Crazy.
Crazy. So, and, like, amazing.
Yeah, and just being able to have that scene between Michelle and Boston Rob when they're, like, tossing the little ring of, like, everybody hates my game. And Boston Rob's just like, let them. You still won. You're still good. You're still here for a reason.
Yep.
So
seeing that healed something in me, I think.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes when I'm feeling down about the comments or whatever else, people like, I was like, people just don't get it. I'll watch that. And I'll watch Tom Westman during Heroes at Villain or Heroes versus Villains. Heroes at Villains. LOL. When he's like, yeah, the winner deserves to win. I'll watch those. And I'll be like, you're right. It's like a cold drink of water. It like refreshes me. Like, oh, there are people who know what they're talking about.
I love that.
Okay, so my next one, I'm going to say Denise.
From China, right?
Yes, obviously. Denise Stapley. I love her. She was, so again, a little context for me. She was my first season that I ever watched. Not the first season. The first season that I saw a woman win was Philippines. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I loved her and Malcolm so much, but specifically, I thought she was a badass. I like literally, and I don't usually root for like the super physical people or like, you know, like I just don't usually root for a Denise, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I was so excited for her. And I remember watching that finale. I was like, best case scenario, Denise wins, but I can't get that right. Like, that guy's going to win. I won't say his name here. and I just was like, I won't get what I want. And then Denise won. And I was just, I was like jumping on the bed. I was so ecstatic. Mm-hmm. I really adore her. Didn't love her as much on Winners at War. I didn't hate her though. Like, you know, pretty good.
Queenslayer.
Yeah. Queenslayer. If she didn't do that move, I do think that they would have worked together and they would have gone a lot farther, but that's okay. but still, I still think that she is just such an icon because of that season going to like every single tribal council minus one, because there was a double tribal, like pretty much like doing as poorly as one can while also doing the best that somebody can in the game is crazy. And I just love her.
Philippines is one of my seasons where it just has a cloud. It's just like, I am not a Philippines fan at all. But I am a Denise fan. I think she was great. I was so stoked to watch her again on 50. She was someone that you wanted to come back before then, but at the same time, do you? Because she has this perfect little record.
Yeah.
And she almost did it again, which was crazy. But then they won a challenge and she was like, what is this feeling? Like watching her though maneuver throughout games is so fun. She has Malcolm coming up to her wanting to work with her, and then immediately gets Adam being like, can I be your Malcolm?
Yeah.
Where she didn't have to go up to anybody for alliances. They were all coming to her. Yeah. And she just plays a beautiful game for sure.
Yeah, I love her. And I actually do really like the Philippines, mainly because I like it that Abby Maria hates He Who Must Not Be Named. I just like Abby Maria because she's kind of like hates everybody. And I'm like, my girl, I love you. Yes. Continue.
Yeah. Abby Maria grows on me, and then sometimes she overstays her welcome and I'm like, this is enough Abby Maria for me.
Yeah, I get that.
I'd love to see Abby Maria not the Survivor player. That's what I haven't interacted. Yeah, I mean, I bet, but I haven't interacted with her aside from watching her on Survivor, and that's everybody's so different from Survivor sometimes, especially when they're a character. So to see Abby Maria just like in the wild.
Yep.
You
now five?
Yes, I'm on my five and I'm going with Courtney Yates. I am a big Courtney fan. Her confessionals are always on point and she gives sound strategic advice. And just sometimes nobody takes it. And it's like, well, that's your fault, I guess. So I just think she's a firecracker who got picked up in New York City by a casting agent and was like, do you want to do this thing in the woods? And she was like, all right.
I like to think that she just kind of shrugged and then she got on. That's what I think. I like to think that there was no audition, no multiple, like, you know, film things. She didn't meet anybody. She just went, yeah, I guess. And then up in China. That's like what I like to imagine in my head. I love her. And I am actually really mad that I didn't have her. I like the thing is with this kind of thing, there are so many people that I didn't think of. And I'm like, and while we're talking, I'm like, I forgot about that person. I forgot about that person. Cannot believe I forgot about Courtney. She's one of the best. She's so funny. And she just always, I'm just like, gosh, get this girl on TV more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why doesn't she
get her on the Traitors or Deal or No Deal Island?
Truly, get her on the challenge. Like, I kind of would love to see that. God. You know what I mean?
That would be so bad.
Get her on my TV screen immediately. And this is not a good look for me. I didn't like her when I first watched. China was my literal first season I ever watched. Mm. Oh my God, she's so mean. Why is she so mean? Literally, shut up, old Tegwith. God, could you have a more cringy opinion?
Hated Tyson too.
What?
Did you hate Tyson too? Because they're like of similar archetypes.
No, the only reason I have no problem with the archetype now.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand Survivor. I didn't get that it was a game. Truly, this is why. I didn't understand it was a game. I thought that these people were just like bad people and they were like mean people and like all this stuff. And some of them are, right?
Yeah. But
also some people are just like, it's a game.
Playing it up or whatever. Yeah.
And I didn't really kind of get that they were out there the whole time. Like, you know, I didn't put myself in that situation and I didn't get it. No, I loved Tyson. But because I watched Tyson, like the 10th season I watched was Tyson's season.
Oh, okay, you know? Okay.
Like, it wasn't, like, truly, this was my first foray into Survivor. And I went, Courtney's so mean, man. Mm-hmm. And Ryan, still to this day, will sometimes, like, bring up a text message. Do you remember that you used to believe this?
That's so funny.
Sad Charlie Brown music. I know.
I had met Courtney at one of Andrea's events in the city, and my friends and I were walking to the subway, and we're in the subway getting a card because we needed to get cards at the time. No tap. And she found us in the subway and was like, "Are you guys okay? You guys need to get home. Like, you're getting home okay? No questions or whatever." And a bunch of us were living in the city, so we knew. But she was just like so nice and sweet in that moment, in like where you would think she would just go and just go get her subway, but she like checked to make sure we were good before she like went to go find her train. And I was like, man, that's just like so sweet.
That's a girl's girl right there. We love that.
All right, where are you going?
Where am I going? Okay. Do I do it? No. Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with Wentworth. I really think that not only do I love watching her play, but I also really love watching how she thinks and talks about reality TV. I follow her online. If you don't, you should. Because she's genuinely very funny. And like, I love her strategic gameplay. I really think that, like, if she's brought back like 19 times, I think she's one of the people that I'm like, yeah, give me more. Mm-hmm. Give me more Kelly Wentworth. I'm happy with that. And I obviously, like, she has some iconic moments. But again, on one of my favorite seasons, San Juan del Sur, that's her first season, which is like kind of crazy to think that her first season is a blood versus water with her dad. And then she ends up being incredibly iconic, like in her own right. Pre-merge boot, by the way. Not many people remember that pre-merge boot in her first season. And you know, love her on Second Chances. I don't love 38. It's fine. It's like a fine season for me. It's not like the best of the best, but I still loved that she was back out. And, you know, I loved that she was, you know, was able to kind of make this crazy, great connection with Lauren and all that stuff. And I think that she's just a really fun, amazing player.
I am so glad. I was hoping that you had Wentworth on your list, so I had a little bit more wiggle room.
Yep.
Wigglesworth,
hey-o.
Another she's Kelly. Next on my list.
Got another Kelly.
But I do love Kelly Wentworth a lot. I'm not currently wearing the t-shirt, but I have a t-shirt saying Wentworth will not count. I think she has become a very big staple in the Survivor community. And I feel like I love her even more now than I did on Survivor because of the content she is giving us on TikTok and Instagram. Because her skits are hilarious, her, you know, reenactments and all that are so much fun. And I feel like I just have connected more to Kelly in her later seasons. She was there in San Juan del Sur for me, then obviously picked up with Second Chances. And she was, I think everybody was rooting for her. I was definitely rooting for the Witch's Coven at that point. And then going into Edge, I don't think I fully appreciated the season until after rewatching it. And after rewatching it a bunch of times and doing a bunch of one-off episodes for the Rewind, I have really started to love Edge of Extinction and think it's great once you know the winner. Because then you can just focus on the people. Yeah. And her game with the, like, the Lesu 4 is just, and Devin's is so fun to watch. And then seeing War Dog blindside her, but then get his comeuppance afterwards. So she is just like one of those top tier players that I am glad you put on your list.
Yeah. And can I also just say, like, she's also a top tier human being. Mm-hmm. Like, she is somebody who, her and like Lauren Ashley Beck are two people who, have been so kind to me online and who have reached out and offered their support and offered their, any advice, and they would all of that stuff. And I think that obviously that does kind of bias me in their favor, but I think that also just kind of shows, like for example, Kelly Wentworth, right? You're not who you are all the time on the island because you're starving, you're hungry, you're tired, you're cold, you're super hot, whatever. You're uncomfortable. But I do think that like going out of your way, having a huge platform to somebody who has a much smaller platform and knowing that they are also kind of doing something similar and knowing that you can lend them a helping hand, I think is incredibly like shows a lot of just kindness. And I think that that's something that where I can see that when she plays a little bit.
Not like always. Not like survivor player to survivor player. It's like survivor player to fan. And that's also like Edge of Extinction, survivor player to fan. And it's just like she cares about interactions with people, which is.
And then I also respect that she's also a fan of the show. Like a lot of people, when they go on the Survivor, they're like, I'm done. I can't really do this anymore. It like kind of, they see how the sausage is made and they don't want to deal with that anymore. And I think that's incredible. It's incredible that she's still like such a big fan of the show because she truly is.
So my number six was Jerry. I'm not changing it. I'm not moving anybody up, but I'll tag in one of my honorable mentions so we can diversify some more ladies that we're talking about. I'm going Mad Dog. Curveball here. Mad Dog is so funny in Outback. She is one of the best characters on that season. The fact that she's like, I'm going to be counting all the condoms in the med kit every day is just so beautiful. So I want to bring Mad Dog into this conversation because I didn't think she was going to be.
Yeah, I didn't think so either. I'm blindsided by that, not going to lie, in a great way. I don't know if you could tell if you guys are watching the because I think that this is one, and correct me if I'm wrong, just like funny character, like somebody that you just like connect with on screen, whether you're annoyed or you're laughing with or whatever else. I think those characters are incredibly, incredibly important. I'm like so shocked and I'm obsessed that she's
she goes so early in that game and it's so sad because we were robbed of all her like one-liners that she could have had. And the, that like last episode where they see them in their homes of Outback, she's like, yeah, I learned to play the didgeridoo. And that's just so iconic.
Period.
So a little spotlight for Mad Dog, and then you can go into your number six.
I love that. Okay, this may be controversial and also maybe recency bias.
Okay.
Camilla.
Okay.
I
hate on it.
Really think, and I hope she does well on season 50. I really, really hope she does well on season 50. I'm worried that it's like people had just seen that everyone wanted to like, I don't know. I think that what she and Kyle were able to pull off together is something that we've literally never seen before done in that way.
Right.
I think that she has a mind for this game that not a lot of people have. I think that she was able to put trust in somebody in a game that is near impossible to do. And literally, like, you talk to Kyle and Camilla, they're like, yeah, every single conversation we had, you saw on the screen. Like, there was not more to their relationship. It was the 20-something conversations that we saw. That was it. And I think that's actually kind of crazy. And I think that this is somebody that people want to work with, because when you hear people talk about things preseason, what is the one thing that everyone always says that they want in a person? They want trust. They want to trust that number one as much as they possibly can. Who, like, you just saw, if you're really Camilla's number one, you can trust her wholeheartedly. And I think it's kind of controversial because she's not, obviously it's new era. Obviously it's somebody who we literally just saw. So like recency bias is a real thing, but there's just something about the way she played that I just think that makes her kind of one of the greats.
I do have a new era person on my list. So, and I was toying around with putting another one. So I do not like, this is, did not need to be a list of like classic old school Survivor players. And Camilla is really good. I mean, she played that game really, really well. And the fact that they were both able to just like dive in that one moment and be like, yep. And just trust that it would happen is incredible. And it will make her a force moving forward. So I don't think it's recency bias. I just think she happens to have played on this last season of US.
And can I also just say, funny confessionalist. Like, she also, while she was giving us, like, interesting gameplay and stuff that we really have never seen before, she was saying some funny stuff. Yeah. And I love that for us and for her.
And I think the hood with the bun is just iconic.
It's so funny. It's so funny. And I love that she was like, why did nobody tell me that that's what I looked like? Like, on Instagram, she was like, how dare you? Honestly, how dare you guys let me with that the whole time. The whole time.
Like, this couldn't have been in the night vision scenes. Like, this had to be in the daylight.
Oh my God. It's so funny. But then she made that her profile, and I'm obsessed with that.
Love that for her. Yeah. Camilla is just a really good strategic and social player. Yep. To be able to make some of the moves that she did and also work with and trust some of the people that she did and get to four, where it's literally the pointy end of the stick, me or you.
Yep.
That's incredibly hard to get to as a duo and not know that they are a duo.
Yep. Yep. And if you ask anybody who was on that season, except for like two people, nobody knew that they were a duo. Yep. And truly, they were all shocked that they were so close and they were working that much in lockstep. And it's insane that they pulled it off.
Yes. My number seven, I am going with Elaine from Island of the Idols. I know, hot take of a season. I also have not watched it a lot. I've watched it at least twice. But I just had resonated with Elaine and her gameplay, where if I were to play Survivor, it felt like I would play like Elaine, because she is that like social, comedic around camp and like bigger personality, and she's not hiding it, and she's kind of using it to her advantage of like, I'm just a busted can of biscuits, but here's my 3, 4, 5, you know, moves that I'm making to blindside X, Y, and Z. So I just think she has great moves and knows when to make those moves while also being a great social player and deflecting with her social skills.
Yep. See her on episode 1 of Matt Chat this season. I literally love Elaine. I think this is such a great pick. I think that she, hot take, season 39, amazing cast minus like one person. Like, genuinely, I think that season 39 is going to get the short end of the stick because of the shadow it cast on the show. But I think that cast is actually so good. Lauren Ashley Beck, Elaine, Karishma, Jamal, that girl, like literally Kelly, like so many people I think are amazing on that season. Mm-hmm. And I just think that Molly, I don't know, I think it's a really good cast. And I think that, you know, it sucks that happened. But yeah, love Elaine. Great, great, great pull.
Thank you. Thank you. Your next pick.
All right. I'm going to go with Andrea Belkey.
Nice.
Yeah. I love Andrea. I think that she's a classic. I think that she, you know, a lot of people like really want to play like her. I don't actually think that she's definitely gotten better. I think she's very good at the, you know, very physical camp life stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't think she got better at the strategic. I don't think she was ever very good at it in the beginning, at least. But I still loved rooting for her a lot. Oh,
for sure.
And I really wanted her to do well. That double tribal council, where she went out, like, gutted me, because mm-hmm. I was like, what else can she do? Like, there's nothing she can do here. I don't know. I think that she's really, really great. And definitely one of my favorites. One of the biggest compliments I think I ever got when Ryan and I started dating, he said he felt like I would play like Andrea, which I thought was very nice. So yeah, I really
like that. Old Tegwith or now Tegwith that thought it was very nice? I just want to clarify your art.
Now Tegwith.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'd probably seen about maybe once I had seen her season, which was about halfway through my Survivor rewatch. So my Survivor watch, because Ryan didn't show me Redemption Island until late. He knew I wouldn't like it. He knew I wouldn't like it and he was right. So I didn't meet her until late. Actually, I don't like her seasons. at all. I actually don't do not watch her seasons, but I like her a lot. So
I agree. I love Andrea. And I think for like, she's just like a fun character to have because she is like doing her best.
Yep.
Is it, and then anybody she aligns with is like, all right, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. I'm getting voted out. Or like she gives the kiss of death too, and she gets voted out and they get screwed or so, some form of that. And it's just, she is a fun character to have on your screen. And just great human too. Like I had met her a few times at her events, and it was just a good time with her. She was a great host. She loves Survivor, and you can still see after the traumatizing games she's been through.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh. I mean, her seasons are not great.
No.
But you know what? She rises. She rises.
The cream. I'd
rather be an Andrea Belkey or what's her name on Morgan? Morgan, I think was her name on Cagayan.
Hope Morgan.
You know what I mean? Like, would you rather be like the best of the best on a bad season, or like just somebody on a really, really good season?
Probably somebody on a really good season because I'm being watched more, but.
I get that, but
yes, as in gameplay wise, it would probably be somebody of note on a bad season, because then you're like, well, I'll at least watch this season for X.
Yep.
But all right, my number eight here was my new era debate, and it was between Carla and Kelly Nalbandian, and I loved them both dearly. That's why I was like, oh, Kelly's gonna be on the podcast, Tegwith, please, can I do that? But I ultimately had to go with Carla because she's the first new era player that I just like felt like I wanted to, you know, follow on Instagram and like see the journey and follow through. Like Carla's the first one I connected to in the new era. And she played a great game, in my opinion. So I went with Carla here at my number eight.
My mic is muted. I really love Carla. And I think that, like, Carla gets a lot of hate online, which I think really stinks. But I think that, you know, she was really fun to watch. I was rooting for her. I think she's really nice and really great. I think this is really, I did not expect Carla to be on this list, but I'm like happy she is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. She was the only one I wanted to meet at the 44 finale.
Okay.
Where I actually first met you. I'm in one of your TikToks for who to win.
Really?
Yeah. You came up to me and John and Carrie and one of our other friends, and I was just like, who do you want to win?
So if you go back
to 44 finale, but she was the only one who I wanted to meet, and I hadn't met her. We were about to get in an Uber to leave, and there she was outside, and I was just like, my moment. So it was awesome.
I love that. Yeah, I think that she's really, really great.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Yeah, I'm going to do it. Abby Maria.
Nice.
I love Abby Maria. Again, great TV. I think her reads on people are usually spot on. Mm-hmm. I think that she, again, who she is on TV, I don't necessarily think is who she is in real life, but I really like, I don't know. I think she's really, really fun. I think she's one of the biggest icons of Survivor. Mm-hmm. And like, she's somebody that I really would have loved to see on 50, just to kind of see her play and see how she, you know, has grown and changed, but also just like, I bet you she would have brought the drama and I would have loved it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she's definitely one of those people who I think is just like so iconic and so amazing.
Abby Maria was also supposed to be on Token Jeans, but because it was in Brazil, they didn't want to put her on it.
Yeah, that's so funny.
But I can just imagine her in Token Jeans, and it would have been so beautiful.
Yeah.
Either have her and Tyson battling or being a duo and then against JT and Steven. I think because she already goes later against Steven. So it just would have been like a beautiful addition to Token Jeans if Abby Maria was on it. But I love her when we watch one-off episodes for the Rewind and she's in it. I'm like, yes, Abby Queen Slay. But sometimes I can just like, she always runs deep. She always runs deep. And it's just like, these last few episodes, not my favorite.
I get that. I totally get that. I think that, you know, I think she's just one of those people that like, do I think she'll ever win Survivor? No. But am I happy she's on my screen? Yes.
Yeah. 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 I do. I wouldn't have pegged that pick. And I think, you know, great addition to your list for sure.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. 9 and 10 are two wild cards that you will not expect coming. And my number 9 is Tammy from Marquesas.
Wow.
Yeah. So wow. I was watching Marquesas with my roommates in college. And then all of a sudden, Jeff says, Tammy wins immunity. And we're like, who the hell is Tammy? So we then like focused on her moving forward. And she was like our Purple Kelly. Like I knew the term purple, but they didn't. So we were like, who's going to be the Tammy of the season? Where it's just like, all of a sudden, she's just there. And it's like, oh, okay. So I have just grown a love for her after this like memory with my college roommates. And then I listened to some of her book. That's a crazy story. If you're into, you know, true crime and all that, her book is insane.
I didn't know that. Is it about her?
Indirectly. It's like her life, but also there was like a crime next door to her that she followed.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Only murders in the building, but.
Yeah. But Tammy Leitner. Yeah. So I'm sure you have an equally riveting story about Tammy
Decker. Equally. I feel like in Arrested Development, my girlfriend, her? That's how I felt right then. Her? No, it took me a second. It took me a second to kind of picture her, honestly. And I was like, I just Googled her to make sure I was right. Yeah. I was, to be clear, I was. But yeah, I think that that's such an interesting pull. I don't know that I have any.
I know. I figured it wouldn't have many words. But she, if you watch Marquesas, she is a pretty strong player. She doesn't get a lot of confessionals, but for some reason, Marquesas has a lot of like either confessionals at camp, just like solo where they're just, here's the shelter and they're talking, or it's just a lot of camp dialogue that she's involved with. So she has like no confessionals, but is actually somewhat present throughout the season through camp life and things like that. But I am a big Tammy fan, and just because I didn't know she was on the season at one point.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go Franny.
Okay.
I like, so I'm high on New Era, y'all. I know that people aren't, I am. Sorry. But I, and I also think, again, my biases come out, like, these are people that I've met and really love. Mm-hmm. I think that Franny is somebody who I would love to see her in a season where she's not with Matt. Not saying that Matt ruined her game. I think that they, in a showmance wise, played pretty, like, better than most. But I do think that there is a world in which Franny plays again and is able to not be tied to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that she would not be leaving so early on. I think that she is so smart, and she herself will, like, admit to the flaws in her game, but I think she's very smart. She's very level-headed. And I think that she's somebody who, would be very interesting on, like, a second chance this season, but I just really loved her. I, like, Franny was somebody that I just, like, I understood so quickly, and that I really saw eye to eye with, like, and I got it. And I think, oh my God, there, Ron Clark was hosting his, like, annual watch party, during season 44. He does it in the spring, so it's an even season. And it was Matt's vote out. And seeing, I was, like, kind of further back, but watching Franny watch her basically inadvertently vote Matt out of the game, not, like, purposefully, whatever, was so heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Seeing Matt get voted out, but then they stood up and then they kissed. Oh! So cute. But just, like, I don't know, like, being able to, like, talk to her about her game and, like, become, like, talking, and she's still a big Survivor fan, and being able to talk to her about Survivor still to this day has been so much fun. And she's definitely one of my favorite people who's ever, you know, played the game.
I love that. I wish I had more in my head about New Era, because a lot of them just blend together so much, but I feel like she would have benefited from, aside from the Matt of it all, because she definitely, like, benefited in gaining a Matt. but if she was on a different season, because the Tika just took over the entire game. Yep. So it was hard to see a lot of other great characters throughout, and they were the underdogs, and so it's like, of course they're getting more screen time and all that, so
and also, you know, she went into the merge, and correct me if I'm wrong, there was, like, a swap where one person, you know, from each tribe, but it wasn't, like, a true swap. But I'm pretty sure they only voted, like, one person out of their tribe,
and they were a dominant option.
So, like, you know, I think that going into, you know, the merge with so many people is not helpful, in the New Era. But yeah, I think that, and that split tribal is a brutal, I hate that split tribal, always have, always will. but yeah, I don't know. I love her.
Yeah. Great pick. All right. My next one is the one and only Edna Ma from South Pacific.
I'm, like, obsessed with these pickups that you're making.
I, for some reason, have watched South Pacific so many times, and it has also become a comfort season for me, oddly enough.
You and I are very different people.
I'm not proud of it. but
that's okay.
I've just watched it for some reason so many times, and then I have gone kind of soapboxy about, like, Coach Sophie would not have gotten as far as they did without Edna, because if she played the Cochran role, everything would have been completely different. We would have had Ozzy, Jim, you know, at the end. I just think she is such a crucial part of South Pacific, and I won't say, like, underrated, because she just kind of blindly went along until she was like, oh crap, I'm actually not, like, anywhere where I need to be. But I just think, you know, the game would have been so different had she just made a different decision and talked to Cochran and been like, no, don't do that, we'll pop over this way or something, or, like, they both crossed. And also, her tree male visors are iconic.
They are, actually. They are. Yeah. South Pacific is another season where I've watched it, I believe, twice total.
And yeah. South
Pacific was against my will. My love Sophie, though. Like, I love Sophie.
Yeah.
I feel like Sophie should have been on my list. I'm like thinking about people, and I feel like Sophie should have been on my list. Kim Spradlin should have been on my list. But I like that you're pulling like these people who are crucial to the game. Well, I don't know if Tammy is necessarily crucial to the game. Whatever. But I
messed everything up. She would have been had John not messed everything up.
But I don't know. I think this is a very, really interesting poll. I honestly, again, last time I watched South Pacific was probably 3 years ago.
I figured you wouldn't have much for these last two, so.
But I love them. I love that you're pulling deep. So, okay, for those who are watching, I didn't come up with a straight list of 10 because that's hard for me. So I like to do things in the moment. So I came up with a list of like, probably like 16 people. And now I'm having trouble deciding who the last person I want to say is. And this is going to be a weird one because I feel like I can't really say much about her game. Like, her game doesn't like pop off the screen for me, but I still always remember really, really liking her. And then when she was on the challenge, I really, really liked her. Really, really liked her. But I, again, this is another one of the seasons that I don't really resonate with. I don't really like a lot. But I vividly remember like rooting for her and wanting her to do well. And that's Desi. And being like, I really can't tell you much about HHH like off the top of my head. I think I blocked most of it out of my head. Another one of the seasons I'm not a fan of, not a huge fan of, honestly. You would think I wouldn't like Survivor from this. I don't like Survivor. I'm not choosing
all
any.
All the players we're picking are like, I don't like the season, but yeah. I like them a lot.
Crazy. Actually crazy. Also, why was Angelina not on my list? Sorry. I'm just now like we're thinking of women. I was like, what am I doing? Whatever. But I really liked Desi. And I just, again, I don't think I can tell you much about her game. I know that she like won a good amount. She's very physical. But I really, what I could tell you was how I felt watching her on the Challenge USA and really wanting her to do well on the Challenge USA and then feeling gutted, absolutely gutted with what happened at the end of the first season and then being her being able to play again, like made my whole life. And I think that she's somebody who I really would love to see on Survivor. Cause I think she's so smart and physical. And I think that she's such an interesting like crossroads of the two. And I don't know, I would just like love to see her again and just root for her. But like, I put her on my list. And as I was putting her on my list, I was like, can you name a single thing that she did? And well, I was like, other than I remember her at Final Trouble Council being like, good job, you found idols. Good job, you won challenges. What did you do? Or something like, I think that's what she said to the three of them. But other than that, in that season, I can't really like, nothing is like popping into my head. But that's how much she as a human being like resonated with me on my.
And I think she resonated with a lot of people because a lot of people after HHH were like, we need Desi back. Because of the way her game unfolded, she was in the majority healers that then swapped. And then she was on in the minority with Joe.
And she didn't
kind of had to go like, with
tribal councils or something.
Yeah, she had to go with whatever his crazy was going with because she didn't have any other options because they didn't want to work with her. The other people didn't want to work with her.
Right.
And then going into the merge, winning immunity, and everybody's like, oh, she's so strong. We just have to get her out. And she didn't have time to arc.
No.
I like that she is on your list here. I think she's a great addition. And you're right. She was a beast in the challenge and crushed it.
Yeah.
So I would definitely love to see her on Survivor again, because I don't think all Survivor fans are Challenge fans. Yeah. So then they might not know how good she is either.
Yeah. So. And I do, I will say though, when I bring up Desi, when Ryan and I are talking about, like, you know, sometimes we'll just be like, oh, okay, who do we want to see back? And I'll bring up Desi, and he and I both agree with the fact that, like, she does also have a very nice arc now, if you include the challenge, because she was able to, you know, kind of get robbed in, not robbed, but, like, you know, Survivor, but swap then screwed. Go on to the challenge and actively get robbed.
Yes.
USA, like, actively get robbed, but then go on to, like, win. Right? She won, right?
Yeah.
I didn't really like the second season as much, but I still watched it. But so I just, like, I just think that that is such a nice arc that I wouldn't want her to go on Survivor and people not really remember her, not really know whatever else, and it just kind of fall flat. But I still, like, love her a lot, and I still would love to see her. I don't know. There's just something, like, we don't really see people like Desi that often, like women like Desi that often on Survivor. I mean, we do sometimes. But I just, I don't know. She's so physical. She's so strong. She's so smart. I just think she's great.
Yeah. Well, that concludes our top 10. And if you've been following along with us on Patreon, you know that Tegwith and I have been doing Brant Steals every month. So if you want to see these 20 women battle it out, come on over to Patreon, where that will be posted at some point this month. I don't know.
Actually, it's next Tuesday. I could be wrong, though.
All right, next Tuesday.
Yeah.
So become a patron, like this video, subscribe to the channel, do all of the things, and we will see you at some point with more 49 coverage.
Can you believe it's so soon?
I know. All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.